It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh boy, hello, hello, welcome, welcome one and all. It is August 9th, 2021, and that means...
Uh-oh, sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yep. Oh man, so what an adventure today has been, but here we are, ready to get going. We're going to talk about the news, and then I gotta get back to it. I got to, the big thing today is, editing an old Apple script. So, oh boy, I wrote this script back in 2013, and, it's a few thousand lines long, so it's a little bit gnarly to work on, especially without classes or anything. Anywho, let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always get started. You know it. I know it. It's world news. That's right. World news time. Big shout out and welcome to everyone in Com. That's how we chat in SDF land, which is what powers and on radio. Shout out to Northern Lights, Handy C, Claudio N, here before he leaves work. Handy C, butt stuff. Wow, the whole crew's here. And of course, shout out to Jazzmaz, who is always listening. Alright, so there are two big things basically going on. Oh, DCT Rude, or Dr. I always say Dr. UD or something. Hello. So there are two main big stories, and we've got a lot of different articles around them. One, the world's gonna melt, basically. Climate change and coronavirus. If Mother Nature doesn't get you one way, she'll get you another. Don't worry. But let's go through it. Let's go ahead and get moving. First, from the BBC, five things we've learned from the IPCC report. Climate change is widespread, rapid, and intensifying, and it's down to us. For those who live in the West, the dangers of warming our planet are no longer something distant, impacting people in faraway places. Climate change is not a problem for the future, it's here. And now, and affecting every region in the world, said Dr. Friedrich Otto from the University of Oxford, and one of the many authors on the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It is the confidence of the assertions that the science are now making that is the real strength of the new publication. The phrase very likely appears 42 times in the 40-odd pages of the summary for policymakers. In scientific terms, that's 90 to 100% certain that something is real. So, pretty great. So I'll give you the main key points real quick off of this. Extreme heat is expected to be more frequent. Projected increase in the frequency and intensity of high temperatures, which only occurred once in every 10 years on average in a climate without human influence. So we're talking about 5 degrees C hotter. Soon. So every 10 years or so, we'd get like half a degree warmer. But don't worry, we're going to up that so that we double it. So, we're looking at, we're 1C warmer than where we should have been today, C being Celsius. And then, in 10 years, probably 1.5, 20 years, 2 degrees. And then in 30 years, it will be 4 degrees warmer on average. So, by then, we will be very sad. The 1.5C temperature limit is on life support. When the last IPCC report on the science of climate change was published in 2013, hey, that's when I wrote my script that I was complaining about, the idea of 1.5C being the safe global limit for warming was barely considered. But in the political negotiations leading up to the Paris Climate Agreement, many developing countries and island states pushed for this lower temperature limit, arguing it was a matter of survival for them. A special report on 1.5C in 2018 showed the advantages of staying under the limit were massive compared to 2C, getting the world getting there would require carbon emissions to be cut in half by 2030 and net zero emissions reached by 2050. Otherwise, the limit would be reached between 2030 and 2052. Well, how much hotter could it get? A lot. We're looking at up to 5C difference before the next century. So no matter what we do, the sea is going to continue to rise, which is a very, very news to me thing to let you know about. Don't worry. Under current scenarios, the seas could rise above the likely range, going up to 2 meters by the end of the century and up to 5 meters by 2150. That's bad enough, but even if we get a handle on emissions and keep temperatures under or around 1.5C, the water will continue to rise long into the future. Don't worry. It's going to get worse, no matter what we do. Scientists are more certain about what will work, and that's the best news out of the report. Also, it's expected that there's going to be more intense heavy rainfall, and politicians will be nervous, and the courts will be busy, because the study is far stronger, clearer, and more confident about what will happen if politicians don't act. If they don't act quickly enough, and COP26 ends in an unsatisfactory fudge, then the courts might become more involved. COP26 Climate Conference in Glasgow. Okay, so it's a climate conference. So anyway, that's going on. It's pretty wild. So yeah, basically, the weather's going to get more extreme and it's going to get hotter. And if you have oceanfront property, it might go away. Hey, Stern. Hello, goodbye. Hey, Ethong. Welcome, one and all. So let's talk about some of the flooding and other stuff going on around the world then. Thousands of homes have been damaged in Sudan after torrential rains caused heavy flooding, with many streets in the capital of Khartoum deep in water. Heavy rains usually fall in Sudan from June to October, and the country faces severe flooding every year, wrecking properties, infrastructure, and crops. In Atbara, a city in Sudan's northeast, the official news agency SUNA reported that a number of houses had collapsed due to heavy rain. On Thursday, the UN's humanitarian agency OCHA said some 12,000 people in 8 out of the country's 18 states had been affected. So, flooding going on in Sudan right now. And in Greece, it's like a horror movie, but it's real life. Gotta love that kind of headline. Thousands of people have had to evacuate Greece's second biggest island as severe wildfires rage. Standing under red skies, one tourist on Evia described the scenes as apocalyptic, while another woman fleeing by ferry said it's like a horror movie, but it's not, it's real life. Drone footage has also been filmed that shows the extent of the damage caused by the wildfires on the mainland north of Athens. So, huge wildfires going on there. We talked about that on Friday, too. They're still raging on. And down here in Florida, thousands of fish killed off by a toxic red tide. A devastating wastewater dump may have contributed to a deadly algal bloom. Not to worry, Americans are notoriously... we're almost anti-environment sometimes, it seems like. Hundreds of tons of dead marine wildlife have washed ashore and wafted a putrid stench across Florida's beaches in recent weeks amid a toxic red tide bloom spreading in its waters. Thomas Paterek lives just a half mile away from the waterway. When I walk my dog in the morning, I can smell the dead fish, he told The Guardian. I can feel the red tide in my throat. While red tides occur naturally in the Gulf of Mexico, experts feared a large bloom was imminent after a toxic breach at the Piney Point phosphate plant in late May. Oh, we talked about this. In order to prevent a devastating collapse of the site's reservoir, 480 million gallons of wastewater, state officials pumped water out into storage containers and a seaport. On Thursday, the state environmental agency filed a lawsuit against the phosphate mining owners over the breach. Today, the department took a pivotal step to ensure this is the final chapter of the Piney Point site. So, we'll see what happens there. But, distressing indeed. And then another bit of sad news from the fires in Greece. Disoriented by wildfires, migrating storks die crossing Greece. Oh man, Glad they weren't carrying any babies. Migrating storks crossing through Greece on their way to Africa have fallen victim to the wildfires raging across the country for the past week, becoming disoriented by the flames and getting lost, injured, or killed. Every year, storks cross the Attica region around Athens, heading for Cape Sounion, about 70 kilometers southeast of the capital, where they wait for favorable winds to help carry them across the Mediterranean into Africa for the winter. Fortunately, they were passing at the time of the fire, said Maria Gennady, president of the Hellenic Wildlife Care Association, which nurses and rehabilitates wild animals at its first aid center in Athens. So, she said for the past 3 days, storks were being found in places where they would never have been, like in Vrasila and Holandri, on the apartment buildings, referring to two residential areas in northern Athens. In the unfamiliar urban terrain, some of the birds have become confused, and large numbers have died. So, just another tragedy of what's going on. Golly, man, you know, it's just always...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah. we shouldn't have ever left the ocean, but that's kind of what happens. Don't worry, lots of other stuff's going on, but the world is on fire, and it's the end of the world as we know it. From R.E.M.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. It is. That is true. 100%. Anon Radio is powered by SDF, and the cool podcaster software that's built in is pretty neat, and that's on SDF too. Thanks, Ixer. Appreciate it a lot. Shout out to Calm. Thank you for being there. Yeah, stick around in about 13 minutes. We got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, and that is everybody's favorite show. Lots of adventure, looking for dudes, avoiding the sun, maybe seeing some owls. You never know. That's what's kind of fun. All right. Well, we talked about, we spent the first part of the show talking about all the global warming stuff. So I'm going to touch on the other news, and then we'll finish with COVID stuff, because COVID's everywhere, right? Suspected jihadists kill scores of villagers in northern Mali. Suspected jihadists massacred more than 40 villagers in northern Mali and killed 12 troops in an ambush in neighboring Burkina Faso, officials said Monday, highlighting the security crisis gripping the two fragile states. Terrorists on Sunday invaded the villages of Karu, Otagona, and Dotgeft near Mali's border with Niger, a military official told AFP, using a term officials used to designate jihadists. They massacred everyone, the source said. A document by the local prefecture, seen by AFP, said 51 people had been killed in the coordinated attacks. Homes had been looted and cattle stolen. A local official, who also asked not to be identified for a security reason, said 20 civilians were massacred in Karu. 14 civilians were killed in Otagona, and other civilians were killed in the hamlet of Dotgeft. The assailants arrived on motorbike, taking the villagers by surprise. An official at Fourth Village said the locality had also come under attack. So, very, very scary time, very dangerous time to be in a small town or village in Mali. The Belarusian president, Alexander Lukashenko, is denying any links to the dissident's death. We've talked about this a few times, but now this is official. Belarus's president has denied claims that his security services were involved in the death of dissident Vitaly Shishov, who was found hanged in neighboring Ukraine last week. Who was he for me and for Belarus? For us, he was simply a nobody, President Alexander Lukashenko told reporters. So, that's their official stance on what's going on here. Looking back on the election, Mr. Lukashenko said this was not an easy year for us, adding that Belarus had passed a serious test of national unity. He said that last year some were preparing for fair and honest elections while others were calling for a coup. So that's their stake there. Welcome, welcome, Publius. Hello, hello, M. Stoney. Welcome, one and all. Excitement. Taliban is claiming capture of more Afghan provincial capitals. The Taliban's continued to advance on urban centers in Afghanistan after capturing small administrative districts in the past weeks, claiming to take over a sixth provincial capital in 4 days. The cities of Aibak and Saripul joined three other provincial capitals now fully under Taliban control: Zaranj, the capital of western Nimruz province, the city of Shabergan, the capital of northern Zazhen province, and Talaquan, the capital of another northern province with the same name. The Afghan forces have meanwhile tried to push back the Taliban's advance, alleging to have killed more than 500 members. The battle between the Taliban and Afghan forces has intensified as foreign troops are scheduled to withdraw from the war-torn country by August 31st. So families are fleeing. Pakistan urges the global community to look into meltdown of Afghan forces. And heavy fighting is currently underway right now in the west in Herat outskirts. There's a lot going on. Basically, as the foreign forces leave, the Taliban is retaking control of the country, as we've kind of talked about. So, Shabergan, yeah, sorry. There's a lot of names in here that are pretty hard to say sometimes. It's like this guy, I think. And this is the other one. Shabergan is... It's Shebergan, so I think that's Shebergan. At least that's how I'd say it. All right, well, what else is happening? Well, here's some good news. What? That's right. Kidnapped Nigerian Chibok girl free after 7 years. One of the Nigerian schoolgirls kidnapped by Boko Haram militants more than 7 years ago is free and has been reunited with her family. Nearly 300 schoolgirls, mostly aged between 12 and 17, were abducted by Boko Haram in April 2014 from Chibok in northeastern Nigeria, sparking an international outcry in the Bring Back Our Girls campaign. Over the years, many of the girls were released or found by the military, but more than 100 are still missing. Amnesty International said in April to mark the 7-year anniversary of the abduction. Borno State Governor Baba Ghana Umara Zulum said in a statement that Ruth Nglardar Pogu surrendered to the military last month, along with a person she said she had married. I'm extremely excited, both as Borno's governor and father of all sons and daughters of the state, and also as a father to daughters. I know the feeling of families of those still under captivity, but we have to remain hopeful, especially with today's development. So, no word on why she's married to someone and showed up with a husband. Mass kidnappings in Nigeria are happening a lot. Nearly 1,000 pupils have been snatched in mass abduction since December, and most have been released, but some are still missing or being held captive after months. So, very, very wild. Man, you guys. All right, well, what else is happening? Alibaba, this is a sexual assault story. Alibaba to sack manager accused of rape, according to memo seen by BBC. Chinese technology giant Alibaba will sack a manager accused of rape, according to a memo seen by the BBC. In the letter sent to employees of the firm, chief executive Daniel Zhang said two other bosses who failed to act on the allegation have resigned. Alibaba is working with police after a female worker said her male boss raped her in a hotel room while she was unconscious after a drunken night. Her allegations have been widely shared on social media. Mr. Zhang said the manager accused of rape had admitted that there were intimate acts while the woman was inebriated. The letter went on to say he will be fired and never be rehired. Whether he has committed rape or indecency that violates the law will be determined by law enforcement. The memo also highlighted that Alibaba would take responsibility for the woman's well-being, saying we'll do everything we can to take care of her. On Sunday, police in the eastern city of Jinan, where the incident took place, said they are investigating the allegations. So, glad they're fired. Hopefully they find justice in the criminal courts. All right. Well, that's pretty rough. All right. What else is happening? In Nigeria, Igbo Jewish leader arrested with Israeli visitors has been freed. A leader of Nigeria's Jewish community, jailed for a month without charge after being arrested with 3 visitors from Israel, has been freed. Authorities suspected the visitors had links with separatist group which had hailed their arrival in Nigeria. Lisbon Aga, from the Igbo ethnic group, was released after appeals, including from another African country. Practicing Jews from a tiny fraction of the Igbo population, one of the largest groups in multi-ethnic Nigeria. Miss Agha had been providing assistance to the trio who came to her community in Ogidi to film part of a documentary. According to her son Emmanuel, Mrs. Agha and her husband Peniel were taken at gunpoint by security forces for their home late at night on July 9th. I think the idea is you practice and practice, just like you practice medicine. You never really finish learning. It's good news that they were released. Very strange that it had to be such a public outcry to get them freed. Check this out. So now that we talked about one inn, let's talk about this. This is pretty cool. A 1,000-year-old remains in Finland may be a non-binary Iron Age leader. So, DNA suggests the body buried in feminine attire with swords had Kleinfelter syndrome, researchers say. Modern analysis of a 1,000-year-old grave in Finland challenges long-held beliefs about gender roles in ancient societies and may suggest non-binary people were not only accepted, but respected members of their communities. According to a peer review study in the European Journal of Archaeology, DNA analysis of remains in a late Iron Age grave at Suntaka, I'm not going to be able to say that, Vestinormaki in Hattula, southern Finland, may have belonged to a high-status non-binary person. So that's pretty cool, and I wanted to mention that for you. The grave held a hiltless sword placed on the person's left side with another sword, probably deposited at a later date, buried above the original grave, accoutrements more often associated with masculinity. For decades, researchers said archaeologists had assumed either that two bodies, a man and a woman, had been buried in the same grave, or was evidence of strong female leaders. So, very interesting. Definitely suggest reading it over there at The Guardian. We're going to run out of time, so let me just give you the other quick headlines. In Tunisia, walk-in vaccinations are open to anyone over 40. In Austin, the city I live, it is currently in the epicenter of stuff. Austin warns of catastrophe as Texas again becomes center of pandemic. Yeah, we have like next to no beds here. WhatsApp and privacy experts are sounding alarm about privacy implications of a new Apple photo scanning feature. That's definitely a little chilling if you want to read that. Michigan police went and broke into or busted in a house and made a realtor and the clients looking at the house get in a car because a neighbor saw black people going into a house that was for sale and thought they were breaking in, but it was just a realtor showing some clients the house. And Pipeline 3 is going on, and the Progressive magazine has a story about that. To Indigenous people, Line 3 is a battle over the future. It's a pretty contentious event going on right now. The water in the Shell River in Upper Minnesota is critically low. It's a drought year, and Winona LaDuc, the Ojibwe director of Honor the Earth, says it's the worst drought she's seen in 62 years. Yet Enbridge has requested to use 5 billion gallons of water, and Minnesota's Department of Natural Resources has approved it. Enbridge is a Canadian energy corporation. It's constructing the Line 3 tar sands oil pipeline from Alberta, Canada, to Superior, Wisconsin. It'll cross the Shell River 5 times and drill under 22 river crossings. At least $7.5 billion, the proposed new Line 3 would be the largest project in Enbridge's history and one of the largest crude oil pipelines in the world. Recently, the DNR suspended the water allocation, but allowed the company to suck water from parched rivers and the Mississippi River. We saw them pumping water, maybe 500,000 gallons of water out of the Mississippi River, already very low, under the guard of the DNR, Department of Natural Resources. So yeah, Line 3 is pretty nasty stuff. It violates a bunch of treaties, and the police are just abusing people over there, so it's pretty rough.
Our time's come to an end. Thanks
Stick
for
around
listening.
For the Dubas Goals Committee.
I'll be back
Thanks
tomorrow.
So much for being here.
And every weekday, Monday through
Mississippi
Friday.
Mississippi Raver.
Before the
yeah,
Dubas
River,
Goals Committee
River.
At Tote at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Let's go ahead here and get over here. 10, 9, 8. 7.